So it's all over the place. Talk Radio. Somebody got problems.
Cold?
Yeah, it's cold.
All right, amen.
And I don't want to turn the heat back on.
Amen. I guess you got to put on some extra clothes then.
I do.
Socks, a sweater. At first, I like you was having difficulties there.
No.
Like, okay. How about you, Sister Lorraine? How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Thanks for asking.
All right. Amen. Sister Mary?
I'm doing fine, Brother Miles.
All right. Amen. I guess you suffering that same chill that Sister Denise is having.
Yes, sir. I have my socks on and I have my sweater on.
Amen. And what is the temperature there now that is that cold?
47 degrees.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I would be considering that nice right now. But that's me. Now, it's 75 here right now, and it's, what, 8 o'clock in the morning? So, which is nice, you know, 75 at 8 o'clock here is nice. It'll soon be where it's 100 at 8 o'clock. You know, or even at night, 100 degrees. So, well, it's not so cold that you have to turn the heat back on, but I can see where you would be, have a chill there.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see what else. Anything else? Any questions from any of the lessons lately?
Well, you were giving the chapters of the Ten Commandments,
mm-hmm.
New Testament. I missed a few of them.
Okay, I can give them to you.
Okay, because you was going a little fast for me. I said my short hand ain't working.
Well, maybe you need to get a long hand then.
I know, huh?
You got little midget arms?
I do.
No, my sister, I can get you the verses that you need. Whatever you missed.
Thank you.
I can put it up.
Thank you.
Just copy it from the screen.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because I think last night I had all that up on the screen. So you can get it from there. I think I still got that document up. We had homework on last week. Who is Esau, and does the Most High hate Esau and all of Edom, or Idumea? And then I had the task of doing the research on the resurrection and reincarnation. And, you know, because one of the issues with the site, one of the things that we found was that they were saying that our brothers teach that, you know, they're going to be reincarnated. And so I was going to go over my findings with that as far as what I could find in the scriptures. So that we know, you know, this is what's in the scriptures, and that's what we will be going by. So let's see. All right, so let's do this. Let's do our statement of faith and pray in. And then I ask each one of you what you found concerning that topic of Esau. And then I'll tell you what I found concerning reincarnation in the scriptures. So let me have you ladies to cover your heads. Let me see if anybody's called into the station. I usually forget to check that. Yeah, Brother Gary's there. All right, shalom, Brother Gary.
Shalom.
How you doing this morning?
We're doing good. Only I lost in cribbage.
You lost what?
I lost the game of cribbage from my grandson.
Oh, well, I guess you'll survive that. You'll survive. All right. All right, let's do our statement of faith, and we'll move on this morning in this lesson, in this discussion, before we start, you know, going into this site. We wanted to, you know, to know who believes what and what's in the scriptures, what's actually supported in the scriptures, because a part of the ministry and part of, you know, what we're involved with If you say you're a Hebrew Israelite, then because of, you know, some street ministries, because of some camps and their particular beliefs, waking up angry and, you know, becoming very, I'm going to say on the offense, but sometimes very offensive. Even at one time, to say that you were a Hebrew Israelite would actually put you on the terrorist list. Did anybody ever know that?
No.
No?
No.
Sister Denise, Sister Mary?
No.
No, I didn't know that.
Okay, yeah. Southern Law Center, at one time, you know, if you got some very, we do have some very militant groups out there, and they don't always, like with white supremacy, they'll say it's this faction of white supremacy. They won't label all white supremacists as terrorists. But when you say Hebrew Israelite, they had actually at one time labeled all Hebrew Israelites as terrorists. And so the Southern Law Center had it labeled that way, and then later they came back and made it specific to a couple of groups. But, you know, from the standpoint of our own people, a lot of our people don't want to believe that they are who they are. And, you know, when they go and they start looking up stuff, of course, what you're going to find on YouTube is, you know, the brothers, there's like Power Rangers and, you know, having on supposedly their traditional Hebrew garb and that kind of stuff. But it's the way that they're coming off to people. That's the problem. And so, as I said on last week, there are some perceptions that we have to deal with. I'm not going to not tell somebody that I'm a Hebrew Israelite because of, you know, the negative connotations. But the fact of the matter is we have to also be able to show what we stand for. And so, you know, one of the things that the brother was bringing up was our people hate certain people based upon race. So I'm going to, you know, we're going to pray. We're going to do our statement of faith. We're going to pray in. And then we're going to get into some of these things. And, you know, based upon what you found, and then I'm going to ask you to see how well did you dig. Ask you a couple of questions on this matter of Esau. All right, so ladies, cover your head. Men, uncover your heads. Let's go before the Most High. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim, according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I am of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give our Elohim a hand clap of praise on this morning. Hallelujah, Yah. Hallelujah. Glory to you, Father. Glory to you, O Yah Elohim. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father. We thank you on this morning. We thank you for another day. We thank you, Father, for keeping us safe during the night. Father, we thank you for a sound mind. We thank you for help, Father. Hallelujah. We just want to glorify you on this morning, Father. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you for keeping us safe. Hallelujah. Thank you, Yah Elohim. We just glorify you, Father, on this morning. All right, holy hands raised to the Most High. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen and amen. Our verse for this morning, James chapter 5 and verse 14. James chapter 5 and verse 14. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him. Anoint him with oil in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen and amen. May the Most High bless you to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. All right, so we watched a video on last week. And it was of this guy that is, I think he's just in the apologetic movement. And we learned that apologetics is really defending your belief. That's really what it is. It's defending your belief and justifying your belief. If it comes to Christianity or if it comes to Hinduism. And so these apologetics are saying, the urban apologetics, and I still didn't have time to go and research this one guy out, this doctor that we heard the previous week. But we had this one, you know, this, I think he was a probably an Orthodox Jew from the way he came off. It says he studies the Hebrew Israelites. And so perceptions are important. Okay, and so his perception is that God hates certain people based upon their race. And reincarnation, that the brothers from some of these camps are teaching that they would be reincarnated. Then some of the doctrines was that you have to be a Hebrew Israelite to be saved. And we already talked about, you know, that one, because we know the scriptures don't teach that. And then revenge, a revenge doctrine, you know, waking up and wanting revenge on the white man, on Edom, on those that have oppressed us, okay? And so, and I know that there are certain, I have certain friends who hold those beliefs or hold, you know, that they want revenge. And, you know, I tell them all the time, when we have those types of conversations, I say, hey, does anybody have a gun to your head making you stay here? Because don't complain about something and you don't have to stay here. None of us have to be here. Is that true? I mean, we can get a passport and leave, right?
Right.
So, you know, now this is just me, okay? Just me. If you are being terrorized, if you are being experienced racism and prejudice, that has been from the day that you were born in this country. And, you know, coming up in the 60s, I lived in Alabama. I've lived all over this, basically almost all over this country, north, south, east, and west. And I've run from the Klan as a nine-year-old. Okay, and the I think I was about I think I might have been 5 or 6 years old when they bombed the church in Birmingham, Alabama, and killed three little girls in the church. And you know, I didn't go to church that day, but my oldest sister went to that church. And she didn't go that day, and she actually, you know, those little girls were her friends. So I grew up, you know, and I've experienced that type of racism in the Deep South. But my best friend at that time was a white kid. He got chased by the Klan, too. So, you know, it's always been one of those mixed things for me. But the truth of the matter is, if I desired not to live in the United States, there's nothing holding me here, except for, you know, family. But, you know, there's nothing, I'm not chained to this country, in other words. And none of us are. So you got to ask yourself, we got to be honest with ourselves, why are, if you have it so bad, why are you still here? So that's a bona fide question. I mean, I've lived in Spain, I've lived in Germany, I've visited, you know, other countries. No matter where you go, there's prejudice. And so you say go to Israel. Israel don't want us there.
Nope.
The brothers that went to Israel in the 1960s, they still don't have citizenship. And, you know, and so where would you go? You got, what's the country? There's a country, starts with an L. It might be Liberia, but that's not really ringing a bell to me. I think it is Liberia. But, you know, they're saying, you know, come home. You got Togo and Benin and Ghana and Nigeria saying come home. Because they realized that what they ended up doing was selling off all of their human capital when they sent us into slavery. And they claim to be, you know, of the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So, but do you go there? And I wouldn't trust them. Because, you know, what they're looking for is, you know, think about this. And I want each one of you to think about this. As a people, the African-American population in this country, as a people, would be considered the ninth largest economy in the world. So how bad do we really have it? Let me see something here. How many... I'm going to need to get a new keyword. Countries.
But Brother Miles.
Yes, ma'am.
I don't think it matters where we go, because in reality, we're in the situation we're in because of us.
Right. So running is not going to be the answer. Yeah, running is not the answer, but complaining is not the answer either.
No.
And so there's 195 countries in the world, okay? And when I last checked, we as the African-American community, just in the United States, We are the ninth largest economy in the world. That means that there's 186 other countries in the world that are poorer than we are as a people. That's the reason we don't leave. So we think that we got it bad. We got it bad compared, you know, in relationship to American standards. But compared to the world standards, if you got 186 countries that are poorer than you are, where are you going to go? Everywhere else you go, you could actually live like a what, king? So the answer is not complaining, okay? And we are actually in the same situation that we were in back when the Most High sent Jacob and his sons into Egypt. We're in the same situation. We are in, if not the most powerful and richest country in the world, or one of the most powerful richest countries in the world, the most powerful, maybe not the richest, because some of those Arab oil countries are richer than the U.S. per capita, per citizen. But the truth of the matter is, the Most High put us into, as far as being in this country, into one of the richest nations in the world, and probably the most powerful nation on the earth right now. This nation is also, you know, the Most High told me a long time ago that this nation is one of the beast with the horns in Revelations. And he sent us into the belly of the beast. So, you know, we're in a country that, quote unquote, has freedom of religion. We have no reason whatsoever, and then we'll get into this lesson, we'll get into what we found. We have no reason whatsoever not to worship the Most High the way he says to worship him. The very country that we're in guarantees it, at least for right now, that we are able to. But we find reasons not to. So we're coming up with a bunch of what? Excuses. Yep, excuses. That's what it is. But what I want to talk about today is perceptions, and we want to deal with, you know, the things that, you know, this guy was saying in the video, that God hates people based upon their race. Okay, so let's start with Sister Denise. Tell me, what did you find out about Esau?
That he was born hairy, and he was born red and hairy.
Okay.
And his name means Edom.
Okay. That's his people's name. I don't know if I actually looked up what his name actually means, because then we have to look and see what Edom means. Keep going.
And he sold his birthright to Jacob. Jacob?
Jacob. Yes. Anything else that you found out about him?
And the father hated him because he despised his birthright.
Yeah, Esau means hairy. The name Esau means hairy.
In Hebrew.
In Hebrew, yes. Okay. All right, Sister Mary, what did you find out about Esau?
Well, pretty much the same thing, in that his father loved him because, you know, he's a man of the field. He was a hunter.
Okay. So his father, Isaac, loved him.
Loved him.
Okay. Anything else?
And that his descendants are Edomites.
Okay, his descendants are Edomites. Anything else you want to add to Esau?
Well, that his country is Idumea, and that his descendants, the Edomites, they offended Judah.
They offended Judah.
And they migrated to the southern part of Judea. That's where they were known as Idumea.
Okay. Anything else?
And that Sister Denise said that the Bible said, Jacob I love and Esau I hate. Romans 9:13.
Okay. Sister Lorraine, what did you find out about Esau?
Pretty much the same thing, that Esau was the father of the Edomites, and he sold his birthright to his brother, and that the Lord hated Esau.
Okay. Did anybody find out if God hated the Edomites?
No, I didn't see that.
He was the father of the Edomites.
I found that he took out revenge on the Edomites.
Okay. All right, so his historical information you guys found, okay, and everything that you guys have said is you know, you find that in the scriptures. He is the father of the Edomites. He despised his birthright. Okay. Now, why, and I think you hit on it, Sister Mary, why did God come against the Edomites?
Because they offended Judah.
How?
All right. I didn't go that deep, but I didn't know. Just give me a minute. Give me 1 minute. 1 minute,
brother. Because now we need to find out. We know why the Most High hates Esau himself. Because he despised his birthright, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. What were we told about Edom? What were we told about Edom from the very beginning? So let's do it this way.
The older were going to serve the younger.
That's what they were told coming out of the womb, yes. Okay, that was that the older one would serve the younger. Esau came out before Jacob, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he would have been the older one coming out of the womb, even though they were twins. But then why, again, I'm asking the question, because you hit on it. But it's important that we understand because it's important that we understand the whys of everything. The Most High just doesn't just, you know, do something arbitrarily. So we know he hated Esau because he despised his birthright, but why did he come against the Edomites, the people themselves? And you sort of hit on it. But there's a thing here, okay, and when I didn't go get all these verses. But off of memory, let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 23. And Brother Gary, I don't know if you did any research on Esau.
He's a hairy guy.
He's a hairy guy. Well, that would be true. Or at least he was. Okay, so let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 23. And let's get verse 7, and Sister Lorraine, if you will read that.
Thou shalt not look before an Edomite, for he is thy brother. Thou shalt not award an Egyptian, because thou wast a stranger in his land.
So what did he say about an Edomite?
He shouldn't abort him. He shouldn't hate him.
Shouldn't hate him. Why?
Because he's your brother.
He was Jacob's twin, right?
Yep.
And the Most High has a there's a law that you can't hate your brother. You can't come against your brother. So Edom did something that the Most High said was not forgivable. He told Israel, don't abhor Edom, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's go to, I think this is Ezekiel. Hold on, let me make sure.
Ezekiel 25.
Yep. 25. Yep, Ezekiel 25. And Sister Mary, if you'll read verses 12 and 13.
Thus says God, because of Edom, thou hast dealt against the house of Judah by taking revenge and has greatly offended and revealed
revenge.
Therefore, thou says God, I will also stretch out my hand upon you, and I will cut and will cut off man and beast from it. And I will make it a desolate from Tasma, and they of the Dan shall fall by the sword.
Okay, so what did Edom do?
He dealt against them. He's already
tried to against Judah.
Yeah, he probably, like you said, he probably hated it.
He attacked Judah.
Yeah.
And he went against his brother to help other people attack Judah.
Yeah, I think it was Ammonite and Moabite.
The Moabites.
Moabites.
Okay, so this is the sin of Edom.
Okay.
Let's go to Amos chapter 1. And I'm going to read Ezekiel 25, 12, and 13 again. Thus saith Yah Elohim, because Edom has dealt against the house of Judah by taking vengeance, and has greatly offended and revenged himself upon them. Therefore, thus saith Yah, I will also stretch out my hand upon Edom. Now the Most High would not let, remember when Moses them were coming out of Egypt, and they went by the land of Edom, and they asked Esau, his descendants, could they pass through the land? And you know what they told them?
No.
No. But the Most High says, don't mess with Edom. Why? I'm not going to give you 1 foot of what Edom possesses. It's his. He's your what?
Your brother.
Your brother. So you're not going to attack Edom. All these nations that are around here, the Moabites, the Canaanites, the Philistines, whoever. But you're not going to touch Edom. And I'm not going to give you 1 foot of his land, Mount Seir, because he's your brother. So y'all been gone 200 years, but him and his descendants are still your what?
Your brother.
Your brother. And you're not going to attack them. Okay. Now, the problem is that Edom turned around and attacked them and broke the oath. Okay. So Amos chapter 1, verse 11. And Sister Denise, read that.
Okay. Okay, thou said, yeah, for three transgressions of Edom, and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because he did pursue his brother with the sword.
Stop right there.
And did catch. Okay.
He did what?
He pursued his brother with the sword.
That's a no-no in the Most High's eyes. You don't come against your own brother. He wouldn't let Israel do it to Edom, but Edom turned around and did it to who? His own brother. Okay? And remember, the Jacob and the seed of Jacob is his kinfolk. Keep reading.
And did cast off all prey.
No, all pity. All pity.
All pity?
Yeah, that's what it says in my Bible. It says prey in your Bible?
No, I say pity.
Oh. All right. Make sure we're reading the same book.
Yeah, we're reading the same one. And did cast off all pity, and his anger did carry.
Did tear.
Perpetually. And he perpetually, and he kept his wrath forever.
So, this is what it's saying Edom did. Edom pursued his brother with the sword, and you know why he pursued Jacob, right?
Right.
Because he said he stole his birthright, right?
Yeah.
Now, this is his descendants, okay? His descendants. So, you know, Esau taught his descendants to hate their what? Brother. Hate your kinfolk. They stole your birthright. His descendants kept that. And they pursued them with the sword. And they cast off all pity. They didn't have pity on them when they pursued them with the sword. It means they were killing them with anger. And they held this anger, he says, perpetually. What does perpetually mean?
For a long time.
Yeah, they just didn't stop. They never stopped hating their brother. They always held that against them, that you stole my what?
Perfect.
And he kept wrath, his anger, for what? For how long? How long does it say?
Forever.
It
doesn't say, it says perpetually.
Right.
Forever.
So is the hatred between Jacob and Esau, because Esau turned into the what they're saying today, Esau turned into the white man. Is that what this fight is all about?
No.
Is that why the Most High hates Esau, because of his race?
No.
Is Esau, what race is Esau?
He got to be an Israelite too?
No, he don't have to be an Israelite.
Yeah.
Israelite is a nationality. The nation of Israel, right?
Right.
So that would be a nationality. That's like being an American. Are all Americans the same race?
No.
But we would still call ourselves Americans, right?
Right.
Okay.
So would he wouldn't be a Canaanite.
Think about it. Put on these critical thinking hats. Because, you know, when people say some stuff, you just got to just think about what they're saying to know whether it makes sense or not, or whether they're coming out of their emotions.
Or what somebody told them.
Or what somebody told them, and they just held on to it, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So what race was Esau? You know, Brother Gary?
He's a Shemite.
He's a Shemite.
Shemite.
Just like, yeah. Just like Jacob is a Shemite, right?
Right.
Just like Isaac was a Shemite.
Right.
Just like we are Shemites.
Right.
So how could that be, how is God hating Esau based upon, or how is it that any brother would believe that God would hate Esau based upon race? If God hated Esau based upon race, then he would have to hate us based upon race too.
Right.
Does that make sense to everybody?
It does.
Yeah, he's mad at us as a people because of our disobedience, but he's mad at Esau because he attacked his brother. And he didn't care for his own what? Birthright. What was more important than his people was his birthright.
His birthright. He despised
it. He despised it. He didn't care about it. So the Most High caused Judah to come and attack Edom, his own brother, to take vengeance on him for breaking the brother oath. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
There's a from breaking the brother covenant. Does that make sense to all of you?
Yes, it does.
So it's important because the video was saying that, you know, and our people, they're always coming against who? Edom and the Edomites. And they think that the Edomite is who? White people, right?
Right.
They think that the Edomite is the white Jews. But that would also be saying that those Jews that they say are Edomites, they would all be saying that they're what? Shemites.
Shemites.
And at the same time saying that they come from Japheth.
Yeah.
Does that add up?
Not at all.
Sister Denise, Sister Mary,
no,
Brother
doesn't.
Gary. Yeah, let me make sure that it doesn't add up for them. Do they know why it does not add up?
No.
You guys know why it doesn't add up?
Because they're both a Shemite.
But they say that the modern day Ashkenazi is from Japheth. So how is he going to be an Edomite and be from Japheth? Oh, well, maybe we mix with them. The Ashkenazi Jew descendants are from Ashkenazi, right?
Right.
Whose father was Gomer?
Right.
Whose father was who?
Japheth.
So they're not Shemites.
No.
And so they cannot be Esau. Does everybody understand that?
Yep.
Yeah.
Cannot be Esau. Who our people are saying are Edomites and saying that they transformed They were never Esau. Esau is your who?
Your brother.
Your brother.
Your kinsman.
Do we have black people who are born with red hair?
Yes, we do.
Yeah.
Do we have?
I thought that was red.
Amen. Do we have black people who are born high yellow?
Yes.
But Esau transformed. This is what they're saying. To try to make it work that Esau and the modern day people who claim to be the Jews are one and the same. But that's impossible. Especially since the Most High counts lineage from who? Does he count it from the mother or from the father?
From the father.
So even if a Hebrew man goes or a Shemite man goes and marries one of another race, as long as it's the man, then the child will always be considered to be that race, no matter what their complexion is.
Yeah, because Esau married his type, didn't
he? He married Canaanites.
Pardon me?
He married Canaanites. Let's go get this. So that we can understand, and I just want us to work through this, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So you don't say Brother Miles said, and we don't want to go by what somebody else said. We're going to go by what the scriptures say, okay?
Okay.
So, let me get this verse. I didn't write this one down. All right, let's go to Genesis chapter 36, I believe. Actually, let's go to Genesis 28:9. Because we don't want to believe anything just because it's the popular belief, okay? Because the popular belief can be what?
Wrong.
It can be wrong. Because somebody has an agenda. Genesis 28:9. And let's see, who's up? Sister Lorraine, you're up.
Then went Esau unto Ishmael and took unto the wife, which he had Mahalath, the daughter of Ishmael, Abraham's son, the sister of Nebaioth, to be his wife.
Okay, so Esau, he went and got a wife from Ishmael.
Mm-hmm.
What was Ishmael? Who was the father of Ishmael?
Abraham.
What was Abraham?
Shemite.
So Ishmael was a Shemite, right?
Right.
He was a Shemite, Canaanite mix, because his mother Hagar was a what?
Egyptian.
So Ishmael was mixed, right?
Right.
Shemite and Canaanite, okay? But he went and got a wife from Ishmael. And Ishmael, who did Ishmael marry?
I don't know.
Let's go find out. Let's go to Genesis 21 and 21. And I believe you're up, Sister Denise.
Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
And he dwelt in the wilderness of Paran.
Paran, okay.
And his mother took him a wife out of the land of Egypt.
So let's make sure that we're talking about Ishmael, okay? Let's go back up to verse 14. And Sister Mary, you're up.
And Abraham rose up earlier in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water and gave it up to Hagar, putting it on her shoulders and the child, and sent her away.
So,
and she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba.
So who would the child be? What child did Hagar have?
Ishmael.
Remember when she despised Sarah?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And Sarah got mad and told Abraham to kick her out?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And actually Sarah went and beat her, okay? And she ran. So, the child that's in 21 is Ishmael. And where did his mother get him a wife from?
Egypt.
From Egypt. A Canaanite wife. She would have been black. She would have been of color, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, Ishmael's kid, Ishmael was black. Abraham was black. Sarah was black. Ishmael would have been black. He went and got a black wife. His mother went and got him a black wife out of Egypt, from where she was from, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Because she was an Egyptian. So she went and got him a Canaanite wife. Everybody understand that?
Mm-hmm.
So He's half Canaanite, half Shemite. He gets a Canaanite wife. Both of them are of color. What color do you think their daughter's going to be?
Black.
So who did? So Esau went and got a black wife from Ishmael, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody understand that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Sister Lorraine?
Following.
Brother Gary?
Verstea.
All right. So Esau married. Now let's go to another verse. Because what I'm going to attempt to show you here is let's see. So we just came from Genesis 28:9. Now, why did Esau do this? Anybody know?
Why did Esau do what?
Why did he go get a wife from Canaan? Why didn't he go get a Shemite wife? Well, yeah, that would be the reason. But is that what the scriptures say?
No, that's just me saying that, Brother Miles.
Let's go to Genesis chapter 28 and verse 8.
Did you say that?
Yeah, go to Genesis 28 and 8. I'll be right back.
Please not Isaac, his father.
He was mad because he thought his birthright was stolen. That's me saying that, y'all. But it ain't down. But I'm just saying that's the only way you try to defy somebody because of what they've done to you. What you think they've done to you. See, then.
All right, we're in 28 and 8, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And Esau seen that the daughters of who?
Canaan.
Did what with his father? Please not his father Isaac, right?
Right,
yeah.
So he did this to despise his father. As you said, in rebellion. Now, let me find, these are Canaanite women. Even if they're Hittites, they would be what? Canaanite. He had more than one wife, right?
Right.
He got a daughter from Ishmael. And let's see. I found it someplace else, too. Give me a hot second. I'll find it. Keyboard. Let me see if I can find this verse. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Oh. I don't know why I can't find what I'm looking for. Looking at the wrong name.
Would it be Genesis 26 and 34?
Let's see. That's what I was looking for.
Yes.
Yeah. So this is a Hittite, another one of his wives, right? Judith.
Right.
And who are the Hittites? Who is their root father? Is it Ham, Japheth, or Shem?
Ham.
So she's a Canaanite, right?
Right.
Was he going around marrying, quote unquote, white women?
No. So Esau had three wives, huh?
Yep. And they were all women of color. Esau was a man of color. So when did he become white?
Oh, I don't know.
He never did.
Okay, I got a question.
Mm-hmm.
So then, does that make Haran a descendant of Esau?
Haran is a descendant of Esau. Esau had a total of 12 sons.
Okay.
And they had kings before Israel had kings. And when Messiah came, by the time Messiah came,
uh-huh.
Esau had taken over the throne from Judah via the Romans. The Romans chose an Edomite to put over as the governor over Israel. Herod the Tetrarch was a what? Edomite. He was a descendant of who? Esau. And for that reason, God was also what? Mad at them?
Angry with Esau. Yes.
So let's go a couple other places. Let's go to Samuel chapter, 2 Samuel chapter 8. And let's get verse 14. Second Samuel chapter 8 and verse 14, and he put a garrison in Edom. This is David. Throughout all Edom put he garrisons, and all they of Edom became David's what?
Servant.
And Yah preserved David whithersoever he went. So because of what Edom did, the Most High caused David to actually go in and Saul to kill a lot of their males. Matter of fact, let me find this. Give me a hot second here. I'll find this verse.
When they got circumcised.
Edom was uncircumcised.
Okay.
Well, let's see here. I don't remember where I read this at. One of these kings killed all of the Edomite males. And if you kill all of the Edomite males, what does that leave?
Women.
So how are they going to make more Edomites? I'll have to find this. I think it was Saul that did that. Solomon even had an Edomite wife. Now, let's see. Let me do this. Let's see if I can find it this way. Go to First Samuel chapter 14. Actually, what I'm looking for is actually in 1 Kings. Where did I read that up?
You said Saul and David killed him?
Yeah, Saul did it and David. All right, it's not important. I'll find it. But I can show you where Saul did it. You already read where David did it. Saul did, too, come against them. You go to 1 Samuel chapter 14, verse 47. And Sister Lorraine, if you'll read that.
Okay. So Saul took the kingdom over Israel and fought against all his enemies on every side, against Moab and against the children of Ammon and against Edom and against the kings of Zobah and against the Philistines, and whithersoever he turned himself, he vexed them.
So Saul went to war against against Edom. David went to war against Edom. But I was trying to see one of these kings, and it may have been a general, actually killed all the males of Edom. But I can't remember where I read that at.
Did it?
Huh?
Was it in 1 Kings 11? 1 14?
And Yah stirred up the adversary unto Solomon, Hadad the Edomite. He was the king of the seed of Edom. No, this is, I don't think this is where it was at. Verse 15. 11 and 15. So go ahead and read that, Sister, who's up next? Is it Sister Mary or Sister Denise?
Sister Denise.
Go ahead.
For it come to pass, came to pass, when David was in Edom, and Joab, the captain of the host, was gone up to bury the slain, after he had smitten every male in Edom.
So he killed every male in Edom, right?
Yeah.
And Sister Mary, verse 16.
For 6 months did Joab remain there with all Israel until he had cut off every male of Edom.
So they came against Edom, right?
Right.
And they came against Edom because Edom attacked Judah. Everybody understand that?
Right.
And that's what the Most High said, you should not abhor an Edomite, for he is your what?
Your brother.
But Edom, the Edomites didn't honor that. God made Israel honor it and Judah honor it until Edom broke that pact. Everybody understand that? Now, Edom also despised his birthright. Esau despised his birthright. Their father despised his birthright. Is that hating Edom because of his race?
No.
Okay. So if our brothers are hating Edom because they believe Edom is the white Orthodox Jew, then they are hating Edom for the what? Wrong reason?
For the wrong reason.
And the Most High, let's go one more place. Let's go to Amos chapter 9. And this is what's going to happen in the future. Amos chapter 9, verses 12 and 13. And Sister Lorraine, if you will read that.
All right, so let's get there.
Yeah, and Amos comes after Joel. Amos 9, 12, and 13.
They that may possess the remnant of Edom, and of all the heathen that are called by my name, saith the Lord that doeth this. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes him that soweth seed, and the mountain shall drop sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt.
Okay, so if we read up earlier, we would know that the they in this verse is Israel. Okay? That they, Israel, may possess the remnant of who?
Edom.
And who else?
Edom
and all of the heathen, which are called by whose name?
My name.
Who's my?
Saith
Yah. Saith
Yah.
All that are called by Christ's name. Israel is going to possess them as bond maidens and bond servants. I think that's in Isaiah chapter 14. Let's go there. I'm pulling it off the top of my head, but I believe it's Isaiah 14. And I will read this in your hearing. For Yahweh have, and everybody at, when you're there, Isaiah 14 and 1.
Amen.
All right. And Yahweh have mercy on Jacob, and will yet choose Israel, and set them in their own land, and the strangers shall be joined with them. And they shall cleave to the house of Jacob. Now, this is a future prophecy, okay? And the people shall take them and bring them to their place. And the house of Israel shall possess them in the land of Yah for servants and what? And they shall take them captives, whose captives they were. And they shall rule over their oppressors. So in the future, what the Most High has said, all of Edom and all of the heathen, the strangers, who possessed Israel as slaves, they will be possessed by Israel as what?
Slaves.
As slaves. That means they're going to be their slaves. And they have to be called by what?
Yahweh.
By the name of Yah. They got to be called by the name of Mashiach. So everybody that's coming, that is joining themselves to Christ, everybody in the kingdom's got to be righteous. They got to be saved. But all those nations that thought it was appropriate to take Israel as slaves, they become the slaves of Israel. So I'm going to read Amos chapter 9, verse 12 to you, and we're going to stay right here, okay? That they may possess the remnant of Edom and all the heathen which are called by my name, saith Yah, that does this. Isaiah 14:1-2. For Yah has will have mercy on Jacob. Jacob is synonymous with who? Israel, right? And will let and yet choose Israel and set them in their own land. And the strangers are all Gentiles. Anybody that is not Israel would be considered a what? Stranger. So they could be, now I'm going to say Gentile. I'm going to say that these are all the other nations that took us as slaves. The strangers shall be joined with them. And they shall leave, and they shall leave to the house of, they shall cleave to the house of Jacob. So grab hold of Jacob. We want to be part of you. And the people shall take them and bring them to their place, and the house of Israel shall possess. Anybody that you possess, you own. Do you understand that?
Mm-hmm.
That word possess is a strong word. And they shall possess them in the land of Yah for servants and handmaidens. And they shall take them captive. A captive is a captive, right? If you're captive, then you're not free. Everybody understand that?
Mm-hmm.
Whose captives they were. So everybody that took Israel as slaves, we're going to come to slaves of Israel by the hand of the Most High. Everybody understand that?
Yeah.
Now, it's not something that I go around preaching on, but this is what a lot of the brothers are what they're caught up into. They want their what? They want their handmaidens and their bondmaidens. They want the ones that took us slaves to bow down at their feet and kiss them. You've seen those types of videos on YouTube. They're trying to make this come true. But the Most High says that we won't be able to treat them like they treated us. And as a matter of fact, I think it's in Ezekiel, is it 44? It's either in 44 or 27. Let me look this up. But we, you know, we're going to say what the scriptures say. Let me look in 27 first. I'm going to have to find that. This one has always been a hard one for me to keep up with. But I'll just tell you, and I'll find it and give it to you guys. Even though that they are a possession to us, they have an inheritance in the land. And whatever tribe that they are joined to, they get an inheritance in that tribe. We won't be able to treat them like they treated us. But they will still be our possession. if I can find it that way. I think that was the wording that it used. You know, I hate reading something and forgetting where I read it at. But I know this is in Ezekiel. Just don't remember where at Ezekiel. Yep, found it.
Is it Ezekiel 44:28?
No. 44:20, Ezekiel 44:28, and it shall be unto them for an inheritance. I am their inheritance. That's talking about the priesthood. Let's go to Ezekiel 47. We're going to verses 22 and 23, and I think you're up, Sister Denise.
22 and 23?
Ezekiel 47, verses 22 and 23.
Okay, 22. And it shall come to pass that you shall divide it by lot for an inheritance unto you and to the strangers that sojourning among you, which shall be begotten among you. And they shall be unto you as born in the country, among the children of Israel. They shall have inheritance with you among the tribes of Israel.
Verse 23.
And it shall come to pass that in what tribe the stranger sojourning there shall you give him his inheritance, said Yah Elohim.
So remember that each tribe has their own, gets their own land in the promised land, right?
Yeah.
But the priesthood doesn't get a land because Yah is the priesthood's what? Inheritance? Okay, so let's go back up to 21. 47 and 21, and I'll read from here. So shall you divide the land unto you according to the tribes of Israel. So we're talking about dividing of the land to the tribes, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it shall come to pass that you shall divide it by lot for an inheritance unto you, and to the strangers that sojourn among you. And to the strangers that sojourn among you, which shall beget children among you. So there's going to be some strangers that join themselves to Israel, that they become a possession to Israel. But they're going to also start having children in the land. Everybody understand that?
Mm-hmm.
The strangers are going to start having children. And to the strangers that sojourn among you, which shall beget children among you, and they shall be unto you as born in the country. These are going to be as citizens in the country among the children of Israel. And they shall have an inheritance with you among the tribes of Israel. So the strangers who have children in Israel, among Israel, who join themselves to Israel, who the Most High is going to give for a possession, they also get an inheritance in Israel. Do we understand that?
Yes.
Verse 23, and it shall come to pass that in what tribe the stranger sojourns, there shall you give him his inheritance, saith Yah. So they, you know, the problem with the stranger, what did they mess up at? They took Israel for slaves. They went beyond what the Most High said to do. And he says, you just can't just treat my inheritance that way. Not because of who we are. It's because he chose us. That's the reason why. So they just couldn't just, they went overboard is what he said. At the most, they should have kept us as slaves how many years?
7 years.
But they kept us in a perpetual slavery. That's against the law of the Most High for a Hebrew. Do we understand that? So by the Most High's laws, this is not by the laws of man. Another nation cannot hold his people slaves for more than 7 years. They're not even supposed to hold his people slaves, period. But if they do, it's not supposed to be more than his law allows. Even their own people. You know, if you committed a crime, how you got into slavery was you were in debt or you committed a crime. And then you had to either pay off your debt, work off your debt, or there was a certain amount of time it was given you to pay for that crime. That's how this country was established. They took their criminals and they took their mentally ill, and they said, hey, you want to go settle a land for us? We'll give you your freedom after you do so much time. We'll give you your freedom and some land. But this was their criminals and their mentally ill that they sent to establish this country. So they only made them serve so much time. But then when it came to the Hebrew Israelite, they put us in perpetual slavery. That means that as far as they were concerned, if they could have, they would have held us as slaves for what?
Forever.
And don't think it's because of their kindness and their goodness that we came out of slavery. That was the work of the Most High.
Amen.
That was his work. Now, we're not in slavery. We're supposed to be doing and going back to him and doing what we're supposed to do. Okay? That wasn't because of their kindness. That was the work of the Most High. Because of who we are. So, all of those nations.
Excuse me, I'll be right back.
Okay. All of those nations that took us as slaves, took us as captives, they become our captives. That's in the millennial kingdom. That's in Messiah's kingdom. You're not going to hear that taught in any church. All right, so do we understand that?
Yes.
Okay. You following along with that, Sister Lorraine?
Good.
You're breaking up. If you're talking, I'm not hearing you.
Oh, okay. Yes, I understand.
Okay. I can hear you now. All right, so Edom is our brother, right?
Yes.
And does God hate Edom because he's the white man?
Mm-mm. No.
God hates Edom because Edom turned around and attacked his own brother.
No.
Okay. That's why he hates Edom and he despises his birthright. He says he's profane. His people and his descendants are what? Profane. Edom despised his birthright, and his descendants broke the brother covenant. Everybody understand that?
Mm-hmm.
So the Most High says that they are a profane people. Not because of their race, because of what they did. Because if he hated them because of their race, then he would hate us.
Mm.
Okay? So we got to understand those things. So when it says that God hates certain people based on their race, I don't find that in the scriptures.
No, I didn't see it either.
God hates people. They might be a certain race, but he hates them because of they've done something what?
Wrong.
Wrong. And it doesn't matter whether it is a Hebrew or a Canaanite or a Hamite or a Japhethite. Doesn't matter what your ethnicity is. Doesn't matter what your race is. What the Most High is looking at is whether you have done wickedness or whether you have done righteousness. And that's what he bases his hate on. So Esau was a firstborn. He was supposed to be the lineage of Christ. Well, not supposed to be. He would have been, this was meant to be because he was just foul. But he was supposed to get the greater blessing from Isaac. And really, Messiah would have come through his birth line. But do you think the Most High already knew what Esau was going to do?
I believe he does too.
He said, while they were in the womb. Before they had done anything. Let's go to Romans chapter, I think it's 8 or 9. No, is it Romans 8 or 9? No, it's not 8. So it must be 9. It might even be 7, where he says, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated?
No.
It's Romans 9 and 13.
Okay, 9. Okay. Now start in verse 11, and I think it's your turn, Sister Mary.
For the children being not yet born, neither have done any good or evil, that the purpose of Yah, according to the election, might stand. Not of work, but of him that calleth.
Mm-hmm.
It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob I have loved, but Esau I hate.
So before they were ever even born, the Most High had already decided he hated what?
Esau.
He already knew what Esau was going to do. And he says that, and we, you know, if we read this close enough, you'll see something about the nature of the Most High. Okay. That people don't want to give him credit for that this is what he does. So let me read this. Let's read Romans chapter 9. Judge, I want to show you something about the Most High here. I say the truth in Christ. I lie not. My conscience also bear me witness in the Holy Ghost that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh. Now this is Paul writing this. And he's saying, hey, I wish, you know, I got a heaviness in heart and I wish I could be accursed from my brethren. A curse from Christ for my brethren's sake, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of Elohim and the promises, whose are the fathers and of whom as concerning the flesh Christ came. So I'm talking about my brothers who Messiah came through, right? Who is over all, Elohim blessed forever. Amen. Not as though the word of Elohim has taken none effect, for they are not all Israel, which are of Israel, neither because they are the seed of Abraham, are they all children. but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are what the children of Elohim?
They are not children of Elohim.
Everybody that says that they are Hebrew Israelite, everybody that says they're the seed of Jacob, is not the seed, is not a child of who?
Elohim.
It's not a child of Elohim. Only those that are obedient. Can we understand that? But the children of the promise are accounted for the seed. For this is the word of promise. At this time I will come and Sarah will have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, for the children, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of Elohim according to election might stand. Esau nor Jacob had done good or evil, and the Most High chose Jacob.
Amen.
Not of works, but of him that who?
Calleth.
Many are called. Who's doing the calling?
The Father.
Amen.
The Most High.
We got to understand that, okay? It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with Elohim? Because he chose one of these children over the other? So Paul is asking a question. Is there unrighteousness with Elohim? Elohim forbid. For he said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. I'm Elohim. You're not. I'm your creator. If I decide to make you evil, guess what? Who going to stop me? If I decide to determine that you're good, who gonna come against me? See, we don't take into account the sovereignty of the Most High. He does what he wants to do. When he wants to do it. And he don't answer to nobody.
Come on, man.
So it is not of him that will. You may not even be doing something that is your own will. Nor of him that runs, but of Elohim that shows mercy. So the Most High can say, you know, Brother Miles, you was a low-down, dirty, whatever, whatever, whatever. But your heart was right, and I'm going to have mercy on you. And all of y'all might think that Brother Miles should be going straight to the lake. But whose decision is it?
The Father.
It's the Most High, the Father's decision. For the scripture said unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised you up. Why was Pharaoh raised up? To show the power of the Most High. No matter what he did, what was going to happen was what the Most High wanted to happen. No matter what his heart was. Even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore has he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will harden, whom he will he harden. So Pharaoh, we can read in those verses, Pharaoh wanted to let the people go. Most I just told you, I hardened. He tells you even back then, but he's telling you again, I'm the one that hardened Pharaoh's heart. so that he wouldn't let the people go. So that I could judge Egypt. Now, look at the next verse. You will say then unto me, why does he yet find fault? If he's controlling everybody, why is he finding fault? If he made him do it, why is he finding him guilty? Hear what's being said here. So thou will say unto me, why does he find fault? Why does he yet find fault? For who has resisted his what?
Will.
What he wants done is going to be done. So I want you to do this, and then I'm going to charge you with it.
Uh-huh.
Hear what I'm saying, because people take they take the Most High as being weak.
Uh-huh.
If I want you to do good, I'll make you do good. If I want you to do evil, I'll make you do evil. But look what the reply is. Nay, no, but, O man, who are you that replies against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Has not the potter power over the clay? And of the same lump to make one a vessel unto what?
Honor.
And another unto what?
Dishonor.
So some people are made unto honor and some people are made unto what?
Dishonor.
That's the purpose that they were made for.
Hmm.
And who decides that?
The Father.
You see how much in control he is?
Mm-hmm.
What if Elohim? Now this is a statement. What if Elohim, willing to show his anger and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted or made for destruction? They were made for his destruction, for his wrath. And that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy. I created these to have mercy on them. I created these for my wrath. These are vessels of honor. These are vessels of dishonor. So you may not have a choice. Which he had aforetime prepared unto glory. Predetermined, you are a vessel of honor, you are a vessel of dishonor. You are a toothbrush, you are a toilet brush. Both your brushes were made for two different purposes, right?
Yeah.
Even us, whom he has called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. As he said also in Hosea, I will call them my people who are not my people, and her beloved which was not beloved. And it shall come to pass in the place where it was said unto them, you are not my people, there shall it be called the children of the living Elohim. So, who tells the Most High what to do?
Nobody.
He does what he what? Wants.
What he wants to do.
And people don't understand this. People who understand that, some of them don't feel like he have a right to be that way.
Yeah.
I mean, so there are some people out there that actually feel like that. That's why I say you need to tremble at his word. You need to honestly fear him. Because, you know what? I've looked into your heart and determined that you are wicked, so I'm going to use you for wickedness. Because that's what I want to do. And who's going to stop me?
Who's going to stop? Be right there.
There ain't nobody that can stop me. My will be done. So we got to understand who, you know, I want us to particularly understand who you're worshiping. And how the world has painted them something else. And teach that, you know, he does not play. So you think you bold enough to come against me? I had chosen you to be a good one. Now I'm going to determine that you're bad. Or you got a lot of people out here doing things, they don't know why they're doing it. Don't know why they can't stop doing wickedness. Because it was already preordained that they would be a vessel of dishonor. So we got people struggling in their lives. Keep going and doing the same old things over and over and over again, wondering why. And they want to try to be good and can't be good. But they want to think that they're good. And when I see that pattern over and over again, I just say, okay. This is in the hands of the Most High. And if he has determined that you are wicked, there ain't nothing I can do for you.
No.
Nothing.
People don't want somebody to say that, though.
That's why he said, save yourself.
That's right. Save yourself. But it's my job to show you. The Elohim we serve, he is sovereign and he's in control. His will be done. He will have mercy on whom he will have mercy. And whom he chooses to impute their sin against, he can choose to impute their sin against them. We could have done the exact same thing. And on me he has mercy, on you he doesn't.
Yeah.
And it's his what? Choice.
Yeah.
And he has his reasons. And who's going to question him? That's why he says, who are you to reply or question your maker? But we don't understand that. That's why he equates us to what? Clay. Any of us ever play with clay when we were kids?
Yeah.
And when you were making something out of the clay, if it wasn't what you wanted, what did you do?
Tore it up.
Balled it up and started over something, right?
Yeah.
That's why he equates us to the clay. If I'm not happy with what you've given me, I can just ball you up. Throw you away. We got to understand who we're serving and what our relationship is. So do you think if that clay that you were playing with, do you think if it had feelings, and it knew what you could do to it, that it would be afraid of you?
Absolutely.
But we don't ever put ourselves in our maker's shoes. If I have that kind of authority over this piece of clay, and I'm a piece of clay in the Most High's hands, if I can ball up this clay and throw it away, then the Most High can ball me up and throw me away. Because we are only here for his purpose. That's why he ain't going to have no problem throwing those in the lake that don't do what he say do. He's going to have what he wants. All right. So everybody understand that about the Most High.
Yes.
He will do what he wants to do. And he's the one going to determine whether it's fair or not. And even if it ain't fair, which he won't do that, he says, I'm a righteous God. But I will make you evil just so my judgment stands. So you can't say I was wrong. Because I made you a vessel of dishonor. And when I throw you away, can't nobody question it. So you were dishonorable, but I made you that way. Can we believe that about the Elohim that we serve?
I do.
Does it bother you?
It makes me respect him. Makes me want to do right.
What does it make you want to do, Sister Denise?
Same thing. Do what I'm supposed to do.
Amen. What about you, Sister Lorraine?
You do right and obey his word.
Amen.
Amen. Let me open back up Brother Gary's phone.
Yes, sir.
Did you just hear what I was saying about the Most High?
Honor him. Love him with all your heart.
Now, what were we just talking about? Because that's not what I just said.
The fear of the Lord.
Fearing. Does he make vessels of honor and dishonor?
Yes.
How does that make you feel?
I want to be a vessel of honor to him.
All right, amen. But whose choice is that? Is it your choice or is it the Most High's choice?
That's God's choice.
Amen. All right. So we gotta realize that. It's all in his hands. And if we don't want to be the ones fitted for the fire, it really ain't in our hands.
That's bad, me too.
Right, because you know, think about this. You could want to be not going into the fire, but you were created for that. People don't want, they definitely don't want to know this Elohim. So, and
I say all the time, Brother Miles, if I have to go to the lake, I'm going to praise him down there.
Amen. 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 You and me both. Because I realize that he is sovereign. And what that means, he has all power and authority over everything. And if he should choose that I should go to the lake, it's his choice. And And he should choose that I should go into the walk into the kingdom as his choice. He's sovereign, and people don't make him sovereign. That's why they don't fear him. I can have mercy, or I cannot have him. And the only thing they want to see is his what? Mercy? And don't recognize or acknowledge that what if I don't have mercy? What if I choose not to have mercy on you? David said, blessed is the man in whom the Most High will not impute his sins. But what if he chooses to impute your sins against you? Now your charges. And you know what I'm realizing? Why he says David was a man after his own heart? Why he came against Saul? Why he came against, why he was for Jacob? Why he came against Esau? It's a matter of your heart. If he leaves you out there and says, let me see what this one's going to do. I didn't preordain you to anything. Let me see what decision you're going to make. Let me see if you're going to choose me. So it's a matter of he already knows what decisions we made. Even when we ain't made them yet. He knew what Esau was going to do. He knew what Jacob was going to do. Before they had done good or evil, he already knew. But their lives represent two types of people. Those that will value their birthright and those that will not. So either you appreciate and fear and respect your birthright. The Most High says, I'm making you my child. Is that not special to you? Is that not enough to keep you from sinning? Or are you like Esau? You despise it, so you're going to sin anyway. Do you see the difference between those two people? And that's what he's looking at. That's what Jacob and Esau represent. Two different nations, two different types of peoples. Those that value the birthright above everything, and those that don't value it. And your actions tell whether you value it or not. Everybody understand that? That's why Messiah says, why say you love me and do not what I say do? Your actions tell where you're at.
What's that saying? Your actions speak louder than words?
Action speaks louder than words. You worship me with your lips, but your actions are far from me. What you do and what you say are two different things. That's really what Esau is about. So when they're trying to say, why does God hate Esau? Esau showed that he was profane because he didn't value his birthright, and his descendants didn't keep the covenant that they were in with their own brother. They stay so mad at their brother that later they attacked their brother to take the kingship from him. But when the Most High was bringing Israel into the land, he says, don't touch Edom. He's your brother. I'm not going to give you one piece of his land. So we got to understand why the Most High hated Esau. And he didn't hate him because of his race. And if our brothers think that, you know, Esau is a white man, then you know by the scriptures, that's just a lie. It's just a flat-out lie. And those people who claim to be Jews, Ashkenazi Jews, that's just a flat-out lie, too. I won't say it's a flat-out lie. They could be proselytes. They could be converts, right? They could be converts. But that would mean that the converts came back and took over the land. And then don't want to let the original people back in. But they are not the people of the book. They are not the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So, yeah. You know, that's one of the things the guy brought up, that all the people believe that the Orthodox Jews or the Ashkenazi Jews are fake Jews. Yes, I believe that. They are fake Jews. But I would say it a better way, that they are proselytes. They could be proselytes, but they are not the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Not by the blood. And that's been proven. That's proven by our own Bible. That's proven by who they claim to be descendants of. And that's not racist. It's not racist to say that. So if you say that you are an Ashkenazi Jew, I can say, hey, okay, you're an Ashkenazi Jew. That means that you are a proselyte. You heard about this religion somewhere and you converted. But you are not one of the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, you can join yourself to Israel. Did we read that in Ezekiel? Mm-hmm. That the strangers who join themselves to Israel, they shall have an inheritance in the land. But if their descendants held us as slaves, what are they going to become?
Slaves.
That's scripture. That is the word of the Most High. And so we shouldn't be afraid to say that. Is that what we should be looking for? No. But the truth of the matter is, the Most High said this is what he's going to do. Because they went too far. So, let's know that. All right, let's talk about reincarnation. And the resurrection. And I said that I would do a study on this. The only case for reincarnation that we have in the scriptures is with Isaiah. Not Isaiah. Elijah. And it's out of Messiah's own mouth that John the Baptist was who?
Elijah.
Now, by definition, the definition of So we're going to read these definitions, so we'll know that what is supported and what's not. Now, can the Most High do whatever he wants to do?
Yes, he can.
And evidently, the Most High wanted to reincarnate Elijah. But he doesn't do that with everyone. And that's not his promise of salvation, that I'm going to bring you back, that you're going to be born again in another body. So let me do this. That's in the Milk series. Okay. I'm going to upload this to the room. And I'm not going to hold on to this after we do this, so I'm just going to upload it here. Chapter 10 already? After 2 hours? We've been here 2.5 hours?
Really?
Yep.
Yep.
So we're going to do this, and then we'll call it a day. All right, can everybody see my screen? Or you can see the document on the screen?
No.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
What does being a reincarnation mean? Okay, that's my bad. My bad typing. Reincarnation is the religious or philosophical belief that the soul or the spirit, after biological death, after you die, begins a new life in a what kind of body?
A new body.
That may be human or animal or spiritual, depending upon the moral quality of the previous life action. So there is a religion about what? Reincarnation?
Reincarnation.
Okay. Now, to be reincarnated is to say that you died. Your soul left your body. Your spirit left your body. And you were reborn into another body. So you could have been a man before, now you're a woman. Because remember, spirits don't have a what? A gender.
They don't have blood.
They don't have blood either. So you could have been a male in a previous life, if reincarnation, but you could be born into a female body. Now, are you a male? If that happens, if you were a male in your previous life, and I'm not saying that, you know, that I endorse this, but if you were a male in your previous life and you got reincarnated and you were born into a female body, you are now a what?
A female.
A female by gender, at least, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. But your spirit is a male?
There's no such thing as a male or a female spirit.
I didn't think so.
A spirit is just a spirit. It don't have sex organs. Your gender is determined by your what? Your sex organs. That's what makes a male child a male and a female child a female. Do we look at do we look into the eyes of a baby when it's born and say, are you a male or a female?
No.
We check out their genitals, right?
Right.
You got the male parts, you got the female parts. That's how we determine. Now, society's trying to say, hey, you might be a male in a female body. And they might be saying, they could be using this as what, that rationale? That before in another life you were a male, now you're born into a female body, so you might be, or you were a female, and now you're born into a male body, so you're acting like a female. But it is the body that controls that. They want to say it's the mind. But is your mind influenced by your body? It is. Your mind is influenced by your body. Do you think that my mind could ever conceive of what it's like for a woman to have a cycle?
No.
To have cramps?
No.
To push out a baby?
No.
So my mind is influenced by my body. So when somebody says they feel like a female, what exactly are they saying? Because their body can't identify with that. Huh?
They're thinking like a female.
They're confused.
They're confused. Anyway, this is what reincarnation is. The only place that we will find that ever supported is with Elijah. The resurrection. Let's see if that made it into this document. Yeah, I think I got it in there. Resurrection. The action or fact of resurrecting or being resurrected. The story of the resurrection of Christ or Osiris is being raised from the dead. Restoration to life. Raising from the dead, returning from the dead. So this is coming back to life in the same way.
Same way.
In the same body. When this is what is different in the scriptures. The Most High is going to give you, he's going to resurrect your body from the grave. Or is he going to reincarnate? He might be reincarnating us and giving, he's going to give us a body as it pleases him, right?
Right. Yeah.
So we might be able to call that reincarnation. If we get a different body, then we will reincarnate. If we get the same body minus blood, then we will say that it's what? Resurrection, and we brought back the same body from the dead. He reconstituted that same what? Body. It just don't have blood now. So let's look at Lazarus. Was Lazarus dead?
Yeah, yes.
How long was he dead for?
3 days?
Four days.
4 days. And his sister said, why didn't she want Messiah opening up the tomb?
Because he's decaying, his body stinks.
He said, he stink, by now he stinketh, right?
Right.
But did he come back in a different body?
No.
So he was resurrected. So it all, this all depends on if we get our old body back or whether we get a new body, a completely new body. So we may have to look further in the scriptures for that. But the scripture says that the Most High is going to call us back, and he's going to give us a body as it what? That don't necessarily mean that's the same body then. And if it's not the same body, then it would be reincarnation. Everybody understand that? So I'm going to say pray on it.
Amen.
Because it may be supported by the scriptures. If it's not this body, and we are brought back in a different body, then we will reincarnate. But if he raises this body from the dead and reconstitutes this body, everything but the blood, because that's what's supposed to be the difference, is no blood, then it would be called a resurrection. So since he calls it a resurrection, I have to believe that you're coming back with this body minus the blood. At least some of us. If the Most High decided that he don't want you to have that body, then he reincarnated you.
Yeah, because he can do what he wants.
He do what he wants. So I'm going to say at this point, based upon the definitions, that if the Most High brings us back and gives us back the same body, reconstitutes this body, puts this, your spirit back into the same body, but makes it eternal, then that would be a resurrection. If he gives you a different body, I'm not saying, and when I say different, I mean completely different. You don't look like you did. You look like a completely different person. Then that would be, by definition, more so what? Reincarnation. But you know what? I might have to change that too. I think we left out something in this. Reincarnation. What is the difference between, what's another difference between reincarnation and resurrection? See if any of y'all can pick up on it. But we left this out. How do people that are reincarnated, how do they come back into the world?
Into another body.
But how? They stepped out of eternity and just stepped into creation with a new body?
No, I don't know.
Think about it. It's not a trick question.
Through the spirit?
Uh-uh. Just read this definition again, okay? Let's see if you can pick up on it. There's a difference here, and I didn't mention it, and when I'm thinking about it, this has to be considered. Reincarnation is the religious or the physical or physiological belief that the soul or the spirit, after biological death, begins a new life in what type of body?
A new body.
How do people get bodies?
They have to be born.
There you go. But when you're resurrected, you're not born again being resurrected. You're not coming through the womb. A person who is reincarnated comes back through the womb. When you are resurrected, you don't come back through the womb. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So the Most High says he's going to resurrect us. He's going to call us back. We're not going to be born again through the womb.
Through the womb.
And that's the difference.
Brother Miles, I have a question, but it has nothing to do with what we're talking about.
Okay. Since your mind is on something that we ain't talking about.
No, because I've been wanting to ask you this.
Go ahead, my sister.
Is Russia the old time Babylon? You know, the country Russia?
No.
Known as Babylon?
No. Babylon, the old time country Babylon today is Iraq. That's where the Tower of Babel was at. So what made you think that that was Russia?
Because I'm looking at this map. And where is, well, I have to go, I need a bigger map.
Yeah, I don't think Russia ever owned or controlled Iraq. Iraq would be old time Babylon.
Okay.
So yeah, I would know that for a fact. That would be a no.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
That was just bugging me.
Yeah. Even when we start looking at Babylon and we're looking at it today.
Right.
You know, a lot of people want to make America Babylon, the beast that the harlot is on in Revelations with seven head, 10 horns. Babylon stands for confusion.
Right.
And it stands for false doctrine. So the woman is religion. She's a church. Does the Most High equate his church to a woman today? Does not he say the bride of Christ? Is that not a woman? The enemy's going to try to counterfeit that. And now, not trying to, has already counterfeited it. That's that woman in Revelations on top of that beast.
Okay.
It's a false religion.
Mm-hmm.
And that false religion has caused men to worship a false god. And she lives, the beast that she sits on represents countries and nations. Seven heads, 10 horns. Just like the beast in what, Daniel? Seven heads, 10 horns. We're told who that is. What we're not told is the second beast that comes up that has the two tiny horns. And that acts like a lamb but speaks like a dragon. That's a country. Who talks like they are of Messiah, but their actions are like a dragon. So yeah, we're gonna go. I'm actually starting to do a deeper study into all of this, so that we can understand that by the scriptures and by the ark. Like I said, the Most High have been putting some things on my mind, but then you know he didn't just show me. And so I have better clarity on a few more things in looking at Revelations and the end times and the mark of the beast. That's why it's important that we keep Sabbath. It distinguishes us. And it is actually a seal. The Most High didn't...
When they say a seal on your forehead, that means it's within your mind, right?
That's within your mind. And that's what you're obeying. And the Most High said the Sabbath was what? Perpetual? Mm-hmm. This is my covenant forever. So no world religion, no man has the authority to change the commandments of the Most High. We don't have the authority to change his commandments. But somebody said they do. Anybody know who said they have the authority to change the commandments of the Most High? That they can override the... Huh?
The Catholic Church.
The Catholic Church said that and has done it. I think I'm going to give you guys that as an assignment. Here's your assignment for next week. So, and the Most High can do whatever, the Most High can do what he wants to do. I don't believe the scriptures support reincarnation as the vehicle of return for the saints. Because reincarnation, we are not coming back through the womb. And with reincarnation, in all other religions that support reincarnation, you are born again through the womb as a baby in another body. Everybody understand that?
Yeah.
Mm.
But the scriptures don't describe that for us. We are going to be called out of the grave, and whether we're given a completely new body, we're not coming back through the what?
Womb.
Through the womb.
He said that we're going to be changed.
Right, we're going to be changed in the moment. If we're alive, we're going to be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of a what? That's right. So you bat your eye, one minute you were mortal, the next minute you are immortal. You bat your eye, one second you're mortal, the next second you're immortal, just that quick. That's a completely different thing than being, than dying, going someplace, because you could be, according, excuse me, I caught a cold from, or something from my grandchild. You could be dead for hundreds of years, and then you are reborn again through a woman. That's reincarnation. But the resurrection is, I'm going to call your spirit out of the grave, and I'm going to give you either your old body back, or I'm going to give you a new body. But if I give you your old body back, you're not going to have blood. If I give you a new body, you're still not going to have blood. But you're not coming through the womb. So that's the difference in the two. So the only person that we can find in the scriptures that has done that, that is, was who died, as a matter of fact, did Elijah ever die?
No, they said his father took him.
Took him up, right?
He's not. Yep.
We don't really know what happened to Elijah. He got on a chariot and went up into heaven, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know that he actually fits that same thing, but well, we would have to say yes, he did, because John the Baptist was born again, right?
Yes, he was.
came through Elizabeth, right?
Right.
And Elijah had a mother and a father. So he would be the only one in the scriptures that fits the definition of reincarnation. Everybody else is going through the process of resurrection. So I don't believe that these brothers are going to be reincarnated. I don't find any scriptures that say that any other brothers, any other people are going to be born again through the womb to come out and be fighting for the Most High. I don't find that anywhere in any books. So I don't believe that the scriptures support reincarnation. And so these brothers that are teaching that, again, I would need to talk to them to see what they're trying to base it on. But by definition, you don't find that in the scriptures. So here's your homework. I want you to tell me and get a source where does Sunday worship come from? Today, in our modern times, where did Sunday worship come from? When was it changed? When was it instituted? When was it instituted and by who? Let's see what else was changed. We'll start there. I can give you some other things that you will need to go look at to see if they changed the laws of the Most High. So you'll understand what the modern day church is believing. So you'll understand what the modern day church is believing versus what the scripture says. Amen?
Amen.
Because a lot of times we don't really go look at the sources. We don't know where something came from. Especially if we were born and they were already doing it. We just assume that it was always that way.
Yeah.
But where did it actually come from? So, yeah, that's your assignment for next week in this right here. And then we will get back into this study that we're doing, Black History. But I want you to tell me, where did Sunday worship, when was the Sabbath changed to Sunday? And who did it? And what do they say about it? Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
All right. That's our assignments for next week. Let us bow our heads because we've been here 2 hours and 45 minutes, almost 3 hours this morning. And I love y'all, but I got other stuff to do too.
Amen.
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 All right. Father Yah, we thank you on this morning. We thank you for the word that you have shared. We thank you, Father, for your manifold blessings. Bless every person as they go their separate ways on this morning, Father. Keep them safe from all hurt and harm. Give them favor. and whatever they should put their hands to, Father, that they would represent you. Keep them from all evil. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen.
Amen.
All right, so we'll meet again on next Sunday. You should have your homework. Who instituted Sunday worship? When it was done? And what do they say about it? What does that organization that changed it say about it? And then I want you to ask yourself, whatever organization you were with, ask yourself, why are they worshiping on Sunday? Because we all came out of a church, right?
Yeah.
We all were attending somewhere. You have to ask yourself, why are they keeping Sunday? Where did they get it from? All right. So, love you all. Have a blessed rest of your day. And I'm going to go eat and take something for, I don't know what this is I got, this phlegm that I keep coughing up. Go take something for it. And then, oh, I know what I meant to tell you guys. Because I said I wouldn't do this during the business meeting. Putting the plants under the AC has kept down, it kept the mold from growing. And, so the microgreens are growing. There's a second problem that I got presented with. Because I have these grow rooms to keep them cool, I have them closed off. They zip up to close. And the air pressure from the AC actually flattened the plants. So I'm going to have to find a way to... I am passing the air through to a second room, but I was trying to also keep it cool. So I may have to do it in such a way that I allow a more free airflow so that the pressure doesn't build up inside of the grow room and flatten the plants. Because that's what, they looked so good yesterday, and I took them from under the trays and I watered them, and so I set them on the floor in the grow room because I didn't want them, up close to the lights. I just wanted light on them, but I didn't want them close so that they would continue to come up. And I went in and I looked, what the heck? And I could see the wind, I could see the pattern from the wind on them, from the AC, from the air from the AC. And it had just flattened them. I was like, okay. So I, watered them and put them up under the lights. And now I got to go in and... These rooms have, other vents in them. So what I have to do is play with the vents and see if I can still keep it cool but allow the air to escape faster so it doesn't build up so much pressure. I was looking at the grow rooms and I thought it was a good thing because the walls looked like they were, almost looked like a balloon because it's fabric. And so, you could see the air pressure in it. And when I, when I open it up, it goes back down to the regular shape. But I didn't think that it would affect the plants like that. So that's where we're at. But, we're not getting the mold, and that was the biggest thing. I think I can control the airflow, open up another vent into the second room, and then open up a second vent in the second room to allow the air to escape. Right now I got one vent open allowing the air to escape. But it still retains a lot of it. But I might just have to let it just pass through. And so that the air pressure won't flatten the plants. Because they're delicate. They're only seedlings. So they're delicate, and it's easy for them to be blown over. So we'll see. I'll put them up under the light to see if I can get them to stand back up. And then I will... adjust the flow into that room or the airflow out of it. I don't really want to adjust the airflow in. I still want it to be just as cool. But adjust the airflow out and see if I can get it to where, it doesn't smash them down. Anyway, that was the update that I wanted to give you guys on that. And have a blessed rest of your day. Stay warm. For those of you who are fighting the cold, and if you're not fighting the cold, stay cool.
Right.
All right. Shalom, family.
Shalom.
Without you, there's no need.